Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, cause it's time for the podcast.
Welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. I'm joined by Rue Madge. How are you?
Good, how are you doing?
We just had Snowy Danger on.
We did.
How do you think that one went?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah?
I don't know if he'll remember it.
No.
But he can hear, he can listen to it.
Let it down to a good 7 or 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, sweet. We are delighted to be joined by BBC Radio 1's Clara Amfo. How are you?
Hello, I'm really well, thanks. Double R what? See, I'm really pleased with myself that I've given you that title.
Double R what?
Yeah.
It's good.
Double R what? Yeah.
Like Shall we give people the reference?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so there is this tune that the Rough Riders have done, or did ages ago, and it's an interlude in an Eve song, and then, Jadakiss... It's like, as H be the ghost, double R, what?
S be the ghost, double R, what? First come the hawk, then next be the toast. J to the bar, double R, what? Send mad cowards on their way to a law.
So that's my name now.
Yeah, double R,
right, you like it?
Both got nicknames.
Yeah.
What was the Eve tune? That's really going to annoy me now.
How old is Eve?
Oh, gosh. No, I'm trying to think what the Eve tune was.
What the Eve tune was.
There was a video, then Jadakiss turns up and then does that little bit.
Doesn't Eve live in Beckenham now or some shit?
She's married to this guy, Max. So, name just dropped from the sky. Me and Eve got the same management. How about that?
Right.
And she's married to this guy, Max, who runs that Gumball 3000 rally. She's just always, like, riding around, you know, the world in, like, fabulous cars and just being Eve and, like, rapping sometimes if she feels like it.
Because, like, Martin Too Smooth, who was our DJ on Hip Hop Saved
Love
My Life.
That's a friend of mine.
Oh, really?
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he is a good guy. So he came and did our live show. And he DJs for Eve, right?
Yeah, that's our tour DJ. So everywhere Eve goes, Martin goes. So he's living, like, premium plus one life.
Oh, mate, I didn't
love that. He didn't let on with that, did he?
No, well, he talked to me about it almost exclusively. That's all he goes on about. He says to him, how's it going? Yeah, still Eve's tour DJ, Rom. So I swear I wasn't asking him about that.
He's going to be back, isn't he, hopefully?
Yeah.
We're going to do another.
We're doing another Hip Hop Save My Life. Clara, you're welcome to join us.
Okay.
When are we doing it? I can't remember.
27th of September.
27th of September at the Moth Club.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the Moth Club. I've DJed there before.
Have you?
It's a nice little spot.
That's where Rupert's wedding was.
Really?
Yeah. I do gigs there. Oh, yeah. Fab. We had the reception there.
Wicked. Yeah, I'll be there.
Clara was so disappointed at Rue Madge's whiteness.
I mean, she said, with a name
what did
like
he say?
Rue Madge,
sadly.
I thought you were going to be some, you know, some Desi
sadly,
Prince.
Sadly.
Try coming out to room of 250 people.
It's Rue Madge.
You've got to be the only guy that had to come out as a white male. In the history of entertainment.
It's like backwards Rachel Dolezal, isn't it? just our guys are white.
No,
oh dear.
Blackness is a state of mind, you know.
Let's not.
Can we announce our guest?
Yes, let's announce our guest.
You do it.
I want you to do it.
Rodney P.
Oh, sick!
Yes, mate. Mm. Rodney P is our guest on Hip Hop Saved My Life.
Okay. Yes, UK hip hop forefather. We like it.
Yes,
good. All right. He used to have a show on One Extra, actually, him and Skits.
Years ago. I saw him at the Ocean Wisdom gig recently.
Yeah.
And I was with my brother, and my brother loves Rodney P, loves London Posse. And then Rodney said, hey, Ramesh, and my brother nearly got a hard on. He could not believe... that Rodney P even knew who I was. It was so good. It's the only time my brother's ever like looked up to me. Anyway, sorry, it's not about this.
It's all right, man.
Clara, thank you for coming onto the podcast, man.
Pleasure.
You are a massive hip-hop fan.
I do love me some hip-hop.
Yeah, and also the other thing I would say about you that is not true about Rue Madge and myself is that you... Well, I don't know if it is not true or not. I'm certainly not true about Rue Madge, but you aggressively listen to the news? Like, you keep your finger on the pulse, don't
you? I try to.
And is that because of your job, or is that because you just want to?
It's a bit of both, to be honest. Like, the thing is, my show on Radio 1, which you can listen to Monday to Thursday, 10 to 1 o'clock, is a playlist of show.
Right.
So the Radio 1 music playlist team choose what we play. I get 2 free plays per show, so I savour those free plays to, you know, to play what I like. And don't get me wrong, I am a massive fan of, like, great pop music.
Yeah.
Not mad at it. Great R&B, great house, like, whatever.
Yeah.
But I just love hip hop. It's just, it's, that's as corny as it sounds. It's the music of my heart, man. Like, I just love it.
Wicked.
But there's a lot of new hip hop that I don't really care for, and there's a lot that I, well, you know, there's a handful that I love,
right,
and there's a lot that I don't care for. But I think that's always been the case.
And your 2 free plays, is it literally you play what you want?
In theory, yeah. So I mean, look, they're... Record, oh God, this is really boring, but like Record Day was always be like, okay, check this person out, whatever.
Yeah.
And if I'm feeling it, then yeah, I'm going to play it. But then sometimes, you know, I might be like, can I just have a cheeky SoundCloud for it, please?
Yeah.
The thing is, at the moment, like, if you look at the charts and like what's staying, like Drake is getting number ones that last for like, you know, 15 weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, like obviously, like everyone loves like ASAP Rocky, ASAP Mob, their whole kind of crew like influence the chart. Chance the Rapper's doing really well. You're seeing all these people sort of infiltrate the top 40.
Yeah.
Because that is what, quote unquote, kids need to stop saying quote unquote. But that is what
like it.
That's what the proverbial kids are listening to.
Yeah, I quote unquote love what you're saying right now.
Thanks.
Keep going.
Thanks. But that is what, you know, the kids are listening to. And at the moment, for me personally, the thing is, I actually really like a lot of rock music. I genuinely really do.
Mm-hmm.
But the most dynamic and exciting music getting made the world over is by young black kids, or kids that just appreciate black music, which happens to be hip hop and R&B.
Yeah.
It's just what it is.
It's a weird one, isn't it? Because like hip hop is
pop music now.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's like the best selling music in the world.
Mm.
But for whatever reason, it still needs to be in context for some reason for people to accept it. And they won't, in the same way as, like, you know, there could be a song that's less popular than a hip hop song and is more acceptable to hear in a shop than a hip hop track, because I don't know, you know, like, because people have this connotation of it. Like, do you know what I mean? This ongoing, I don't want to say it's necessarily racial, but...
Oh, yeah, but it is.
But it is, yeah. But the truth is like, I remember, like, I used to... When I was, like, younger, I worked in Sunglass Hut, right? South Terminal.
Oh, yes, side. I remember this.
We had that. You had your mate on, didn't you?
Yeah, that's
yes,
it.
Friction, yeah.
Oh, big up Friction. Yes, Ed.
I saw him last night, actually. Oh. He's in... his album's about to come out.
I'll be checking that out.
So, anyway, I used to put on, they used to go to me, they say to me, I had the same thing. I had 3 plays in Sunglass Hut, right?
How many?
As many as I wanted. So then I used to put together little hip hop, like, compilations. And then they said to me, people don't want to hear this. Like, they said to me, customers get threatened by it or whatever. I mean, I wasn't putting on, like, fucking NWO or anything like that, but, like, they were, like, getting threatened by it or whatever. So I got told to stop playing it. And, like, then hip hop was big. But it wasn't as big as it is now, so I sort of get it. Maybe you'd go, this is a slightly niche art form, I guess, in the UK, right? Now, you can't get away with that argument, man. Do you know what I mean?
Well, this is the thing, and hip-hop as a culture has permeated so much of society, you know, from those ridiculous, corny adverts that Miller Rice had done with, like, the rapping bears, which I cannot deal with, you know. There was a car advert, and it used hip-hop by, oh, God, I've gone blank, Dead Prez,
yeah.
Used that in it, you know, Busta Rhymes is now, I think, I remember, like, 3 or 4 years ago, I saw an advert with him, like, rapping, selling one kind of Toyota car with a family.
Didn't he do an advert, Busta Rhymes, where he was going into a hotel or something? I think it might be MasterCard or some shit like that. He goes into a hotel, there's all these fans outside, and he doesn't know that they're looking through the window behind him, and then he takes off his clothes, he's completely naked. And then he, like, bends over and everyone goes, like, Busta Rhymes did the advert.
I have no clue about this, but I'll be YouTubing it.
I really fucking hope to God I haven't just imagined that, some sort of, like, fantasy Busta Rhymes scenario. But yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's just, it's seeped in every facet, and it, like, hip hop is popular culture. You can't deny that.
Here's a little bit that you like to call. How did you get into hip hop?
So listen, how did you first get into hip hop?
I first got into hip hop via cable TV. all the channels that you can imagine. Like, a friend of mine, Sharma, said this, and I totally agree. She said, the day that my parents got MTV, it changed my life. It's like the best day of my
life. MTV changed my life.
Like, pretty much, as well as it, well, yeah, as yeah. well as it, just because, you know, we were just given access to all this entertainment that just by people that look like us. Because yeah. I grew up in Kingston, right? So my parents are from Ghana. My dad's no longer with us. Big up Manny. But when they first came over here, they lived in Elton. Then my dad was like, no. Because imagine Elton in 1969. yeah. Young black man coming over here from Ghana. Not really the best time. Yeah. I mean, look what happened to Elton in 1993. Like, put it that way. So he was like, okay, we're going to the burbs. So we grew up in Kingston and there weren't many other like black and brown families around. No. So
imagine, did you ever go to, what was the record shop in Kingston? Beggar's Banquet.
Yeah, still there. Yeah. I went there a good few times. I bought quite a few tunes from there. Kingston had like a cute little like hip hop loving community actually at the time. They really, really did. But yeah, getting cable TV was like the best thing because all I'd watch all day was like MTV, MTV Base, BET, Nickelodeon, like all of those channels, and they all had either one kind of hip-hop entertainment show on, constant videos, or a sitcom that just had hip-hop as the background.
Yeah.
So do you remember that TV show called Moesha?
Yes, yeah.
I was obsessed with Moesha because I wanted to be Brandy. It's why I started braiding my hair when I used to. But also, on one episode, Tribe were on an episode.
Yeah.
And like I heard Stressed Out on the TV, and I was like, this is sick. Don't stress that, because it's not in your bloodstream. Your whole being comes from greatness. You remember, Chase Long got you caught in the storms of December. And brothers on the block packing nines like September. Change the situation, Glock is all slender. Yo, I be on the avenue where they be acting brand new. I'm flooding on these Reebok joints for shorty. All of a sudden, I saw these two kids fronting, talking out their joints, but they wasn't saying nothing. And I just loved it. And then like, I have got older brothers who just really hip hop as well. So, yeah, through them, I just became a fan and like kind of took it all in.
Didn't Moesha have somebody from Onyx in as well?
Yeah, Fred Rose Starr.
yeah,
Fred Rose Starr.
That's fucking mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, if you'd listen to like Being Back Larry. The Fuck Up, and then you go, oh, one of those guys is going to be in a sitcom with Brandy
playing her love interest. Yeah, because he played Q. That was it. He was the bad boy from the wrong side of the tracks that her dad didn't want her to date.
Yeah, I remember that. And did you ever used to watch your MTV Raps?
I did a little bit because I think it was You're just after
younger,
my
right?
time. Yeah. But I'm obviously very aware of them. They've brought it back now, haven't they?
Have they?
Yeah, they have.
With Ed OG, what's his name?
Ed Lover
and Dr. Dre.
Yeah, they're not involved. No, it's like a sort of like a UK niche.
They're in a sort of
version.
Home now, I think.
For retired hip hop elders.
Yeah, MTV
How
craps.
Sick would that be, though, actually?
That would be amazing.
Yeah, MTV crap. Very good.
You love smashing out a pun, dude. It's good. Yeah.
I love a good pun.
Yeah.
Ramesh can't do them.
I can't do puns.
Can you not?
No, it's not in my locker. We tried to do it just now. We were trying to think of names for, you might be able to help us out here. Did you know Rick Ross has got a chicken shop?
I've heard this, yes.
We're trying to guess what it was called.
We're trying to figure out Rick Ross related chicken shop names.
If you can think of one,
you've already
beaten me. Rotisserie Ricks?
Holy shit.
So good. Rostisserie.
Yes, Rostisserie. There we go.
Okay, you both collaborated there.
Pressure's on, mate. By the end of it.
Just right. Keep it whirring in the back end.
Yeah, okay. So, what were the first artists that you remember being into?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, Tribe, I loved. Missy Elliott, obsessed with. Fugees, Lauryn Hill. Oh, goodness, Cypress Hill, because I used to work in a skate and surf shop in Kingston called Legends, and all the kind of the big boys, the older boys, worked at the shop. I was like their little sister, and they were listening to all that kind of stuff. So, Tribe. Like, do you remember that show? You remember that film called Kids by Larry Clark?
Yes.
Like the skater kids in New York. That was like what my crew of boys were like.
Really?
Yeah, but. Arguably as badly behaved, but they were listening to, it was Tribe all day and Cypress Hill, and so they got to play, like they got free plays in the shop, and I remember they play like Midnight Marauders and like Low End Theory, and or they put the anthology on, like, because it was just easy to add all the hits on. And I specifically remember my mate Andy White just singing "I Left My Wallet in El Segundo," like at me, like in the shop, and I just became really into them.
My mother went away for a month long trip. Her and some friends on an ocean liner ship. She made a big mistake by leaving me home. I had to roam, so I picked up the phone. Got Ollie up to see what was going down. Told him I'd pick him up so we could drive around. Took
the Dodge Dart, a 74. My mother left the yard, but I needed one more.
I always wondered about that song, because if I'd left my wallet in El Segundo, I would just phone up and get the cards cancelled. It feels like such a
phone. Yeah, but that came out in, what, 92, that song?
Yeah. So could you not cancel your cards in 92?
Well, I don't know. Well, maybe probably not as easy as you could today.
I guess it's more difficult to write a hot verse about, you know, I phoned up the bank and, oh, my God, I'm not going to try and do it.
No, but I get where you're going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you seen that documentary about them on Netflix?
So good.
Yeah.
They, like, properly fell out, didn't they?
Yeah, they really fell out. Yeah. And all the stuff with, like, Fife and his wife and his illness. Yeah. Like, it's really, like... Yeah, because Michael Rappaport, produced and directed it, that actor. Mm.
I sort of love... Because the Tribe Called Quest... Q-Tip and Fife, you could just never have put them together. Do you know what I mean? It's like Outkast are like that. And Chuck D and Flavor Flavor like that. You just sort of go, how the fuck did these two end up doing things together? Do you know what I mean? It's so mad. What did you think of Q-Tip solo stuff?
Do you know, it's funny, actually, because I was listening to that in the car on the way here, just reminding myself of the tunes that I really loved. And I was genuinely, like, a really big fan, because I guess that was him, like, stretching his... I mean, he always has sampled people.
Yeah.
But for me, those were what I'd say were his grown and sexy records.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, the type of music you'd listen to, like, is with someone you're trying to sleep with.
Yeah,
or someone that you probably currently sleeping with.
Yeah.
You know, like, I genuinely, like, really, really liked them.
I remember initially being upset when I first heard Vibrant Thing.
Of course you were.
Special girl, real good girl. Biggest thing in my itty bitty world. Caught her up and she made me feel right. Wish the bliss could never take flight. Sitting back with this mic in my hand. Spitting hot shit, trying to see grand. Imprinted on my mind every minute. Make my plans and you always in it, y'all.
That was everyone's reaction, right?
Mm. Well, no, it was every man's reaction that
I know. Is
that right?
Okay, fine.
Because he absolutely knew that was a tune, like, for women.
Right. Is that it? I've not heard this argument before.
Anytime I go to a party and someone plays it, all the girls just like, yeah! Like, you know, you're thinking you are a video vixen of back in the day.
Right.
But no, he knew what he was doing with that tune.
Okay, yeah. So it's just... I just didn't appreciate it because I'm a dude.
I think so. I mean, yeah, if we're being very general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we can be. We can afford to be. And Rupert and I are sort of stereotypical.
Cisgendered hetero men.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. And you're not.
Exclusive.
Would you say that you're woke?
Yeah.
Oh, woke. What a phrase. What a term. What a word.
Rack your brains. Give it some thought. What was the first hip-hop album you bought?
Do you remember what your first hip-hop album was? Was it Tribe?
I've been trying to remember because I think... I came of age and I came of age, like, loving hip hop at a time where I wasn't just able to afford to buy whole albums.
Right.
And if I did, it was easy for me to get like a greatest hits or like a collection and then work backwards.
That felt like a safer option, didn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, because you just sort of think, well, I'm not going to end up buying an album that's got one good track on it and then everything else is shit. Yeah.
Well, this is it. But then I'd hone in on, like, who I really liked and I'd buy their albums backwards.
Right.
But Missy, though, I was consistent buying all of her records. But I think the first hip hop album I may have bought might have been The Score by the Fugees, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
We used to be number 10. Now we permanent in one. In the battle, lost my finger. Mike became my arm. Pissed the nozzle, it's nasal. Blood becomes lukewarm. Tell her, it might be easy now. Squeeze this summer. Test why cleft. See that flesh get scorned. Beat so bad, make it feel like you ain't wanting to be born, John. Tell your friends, stay the hell out of my lord. Chicken George became dead George, stealing chicken from my phone.
Did you ever listen to their one before?
Yeah, Blunt and Reality.
Yeah.
You had your Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
Then I get a date on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that
and
tune.
And like Boof Baff.
Yeah, tunes.
Oh my God.
Tunes.
That album.
Yeah.
It's quite underrated, isn't it?
It is really underrated. Like, and I remember almost being... Okay, this is bad, and it's probably because I'm a dude. But when the Fugees came out with Killing Me Softly, like, took them to, like, next level or whatever... I remember sort of being one of those pricks, you know, that goes, oh my God.
Well, they sold out.
Yeah, no, yeah, it was like that.
I knew it, I knew it. I think it's, I know what hip hop fan you are. Double R what?
Telling everyone they've actually got an album before.
Yeah. Have you heard Blunt and Reality? Well, you're not actually a Fugees fan.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I was like that. I was one of them. Artists.
Killing Me Softly, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're just like, oh no, actually, this is pretty amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Because I bet you took it to the bridge, didn't you? Best bit.
Hey, man, what's your favorite hip hop album?
Do you have a favorite hip hop album of all time? It's a difficult question.
It is a very difficult question. I've juggled this. I think it's between Low End Theory by Tribe and The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. She says in her Lauryn Hill t-shirt.
Yeah.
But I just love that record so much because I know some people can look at it and be like, well, is it really a hip-hop record? It's like, well, it is, because to this day, some of Lauryn Hill's bars are harder than anybody that would bring out a record like now, or at least from the past 20 years. Baby girl, respect is just a minimum. Niggas fucked up, you still defending them now. Lauryn is only human. Don't think I haven't been through the same predicament. Let it sit inside your head like a million women in Philly pen. It's silly when girls sell their souls because it's sin. Look at where you be in. Hair weaves like Europeans. Fake nails done by Koreans. Come again. There was so much hurt and so much anger, so much honesty in that album that I'll listen to it at least twice a week. I'll listen to it,
yeah,
like all the way through.
And then what happened with her?
Well, this is a very interesting question. She's currently on tour, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to be seeing her in London. She's coming, she's doing a show in December.
Yeah.
And a good mate of mine, name just dropping from the sky, my mate Emerald, big up Emerald.
Oh, no.
Emerald is MIA's tour DJ, and MIA's been supporting Lauryn.
Right.
And I was supposed to go and see them when I was on holiday recently in New York.
Yeah.
But apparently Lauryn takes her time, you know, to get on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's been a consistent thing, hasn't it? Like in the press. So apparently if she says she's coming on at 7, I'm not getting to the venue until like 8:30.
Well, I went to see her because her and Nas did a tour in the States. And like it was like 30 minutes Nas, 30 minutes Lauryn Hill, 30 minutes Nas, 30 minutes Lauryn Hill. Then they came on together and did If I Rule the World, and then everyone went mad. But Lauryn Hill, she had a full band. Like Nas was just like, I can't remember if he had like a full band or it's just like a deep. Anyway, he's killed it, like just bang, bang, bang. And then Lauryn Hill came out and everyone fucking lost their minds. Because I think, I went to see the, was it Hollywood Bowl or whatever? And most people, I think, were there for Lauryn Hill. And she just did like this weird, she did like a weird version of it so that you could hear all the
melody, the music,
the melody, right? So you're sort of like, oh fuck yes, and then it started and you're like, oh shit, this is a bit like a different version. Like artists do that, but she did that for every single tune, and it got to the point where like people were like, oh man, I could quite like to hear the original on this.
I've been hearing that,
yeah.
So I'm bracing myself for December, because you never know what she's going to do, because the last time I saw her was at the Indigo 2, that smaller venue.
Yeah, what was that like?
Do you know, I genuinely really enjoyed it. Like she sped things up a little bit,
right?
So she did a version of X Factor, which was like, you know, it was like a little two-step,
yeah.
rather than like the heart-wrenching ballad that we know.
Yeah.
But like vocally, she's done the best I'd heard her in ages, right. But that's the thing, you never know what you're going to get with her, but I just don't want to not know. I just don't want to miss the opportunity to see her live as much as I can, because you just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and then you don't want to miss that show where they go, fucking hell, that was the one.
She's back.
She's, yeah.
Yeah,
she's
exactly.
Never going to do it like that again.
So December December 2nd, I think it is. I'm bracing myself.
No pressure, yeah. Lauryn.
No pressure.
Because I know she listens to this podcast.
She does, actually. You're saying it very like as if she doesn't, but she does.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Well, if she does, she's going to be pretty pissed off about what I said about her live show. Okay, so Lauryn Hill and then Tribe Called Quest, Low End Theory.
Yeah.
Why do you prefer Low End Theory to like Midnight Marauders?
That's a very good question. For me personally, I think the beats are better.
Right.
I personally think, and yeah. I think it's an emotional thing, it's an emotional attachment thing.
Yeah.
It's just one of the first records that I remember listening to, and I love Butter.
Yeah.
Butter's like my favourite song.
Right.
I love how he reams off all the women's names. All that.
Yeah.
It's actually quite a misogynistic song,
yeah.
But I just really like it.
Yeah. I was a stone cold lover, you couldn't tell me that. Settling down with one girl, wasn't trying to hear that. I had Tanya, Tamika, Sharon, Karen, Tina, Stacy, Julie, Tracy, used to love them, leave them, skeeze them, tease them, find them. Also abuse them. My whole attitude was new day, next hunt. And believe it or not, they all got done. But here misogyny, really can, misogyny can be fun.
I mean, well, that another topic of debate that can be made.
No, there's no
podcast,
debate. Let me be clear. I don't think it's fun.
Misogyny is not fun.
No.
But annoyingly, when there's a great melody underneath it, you can get temporary amnesia.
Yeah. Speaking of misogyny,
yes.
I read a thing recently that gaslighting is something that almost all men do.
Oh, yeah.
What's gaslighting?
Well, there you go. That's exactly why your wife needs to be afraid. So I'll be honest, I'm not 100% sure I know what it is, but I think it's when you guys can correct me if I'm wrong on this.
Well, I won't, because I don't know what it is.
Yeah, but you can, like, have a think about what you think. Right.
Come on, come with the explanation. I'm waiting.
So I think it's... Oh, God, that was scary.
I'm waiting to be gaslit, or maybe not.
So I think gaslighting is when a bloke, like, sort of promises things and says things, and then when he's checked on that, says that he never said that, or, you know, he, like, leads somebody on... And then, like, makes the other person feel like they're going crazy when actually he has been doing this. And it's a form of manipulation. Have I got this right?
Yeah, you're in the right arena, because to be fair to your sex, it's
species.
Not just blokes that do it.
It's mostly blokes, isn't
it? But let's just be honest. Yeah. But yeah, it's like saying things to sort of provoke and to sort of get someone into a safe space and be like, actually, no, you're nuts. Like, I've always, you know, from my first experience with men,
yeah.
I think the easiest and reductive thing a man can do is to call you crazy when you call him out on his bullshit.
Right.
And
right.
I've said this to my male friends, and they've whispered, like, Clara, you're right. And I'm like, I fucking knew it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. I've seen it with my girlfriends and, like, you know, their partners. It's just a thing that happens, isn't it?
I think my...
It's getting a bit deep now, isn't
no,
it?
No, it's good, like it's it. Good. This is what the podcast is about. I think my wife is hearing gaslighting me. Because, right, whenever I say something that she doesn't like, she says to me that I'm mumbling. And I'm not fucking mumbling. And it's like her way of going, repeat yourself if you've got the fucking balls, mate.
Did I stutter?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, Lisa, if you're listening, fucking step it up.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What are you... do you have any issues with hip-hop?
Oh, gosh. I mean, yeah, the misogyny is... I think that's going to be an ongoing thing. I've heard your other podcast guests say the same thing, but it's true. But I think one of my biggest issues at the moment is with female rappers, or, like, the culture around female rappers, because, again, to be fair, they can get gaslit. And I'm actually guilty of doing this, to be fair, because I call it the there can only be one theory...
Yeah.
So at the moment, obviously, Cardi B, let's say, for example, is popping.
Yeah.
And let me say, Invasion of Privacy is one of the best kind of... And again, she's not trying to come through like she's, you know...
She's not a lyrical
like dumb. Like Mos Def or
yeah.
whoever.
Yeah.
But for the lane that she's trying to be in,
got
that hip-hop pop...
Yeah.
You know, I guess, like, world. She smashed it. It's a great record.
Right.
From start to finish. I love it.
See, this is what I'm guilty of, right? Because I follow you on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I very much respect your views and opinions on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you have an ability that I don't, that you're much better at this than I am, which is to go, this is the channel, this is the type of record this person is making, right?
Mm.
And within that is a great record. Whereas I am like, I'll listen to Cardi B and go, well, that rapping's not very good. So, and you say you dismiss it. I mean, there's an eye roll there from Clara.
Oh, there's an eye roll and a neck roll.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that is my issue. Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So like Catherine Ryan. Do you know Catherine Ryan?
I love Catherine.
So Catherine is like a massive Cardi B fan, and we constantly argue. We probably discussed it twice. But she's like Cardi B is amazing, and I just haven't. I don't know. I just haven't recognised her.
I genuinely think she's brilliant. But, I mean, again, it's gender wars up in this bitch. But I do think women, all the women I know, like, love her. Because I first became aware of Cardi B when she was an Instagram sensation. That's
right.
How she became famous.
Yeah, yeah.
She'd make these funny little Instagram videos about, you know, working the strip club and, like, how to treat men who are treating you like shit. Like, one of her favourite lines is, black a nigga number. if guys just get annoyed, it's black a nigga number. I can say the N-word freely. really in here.
Yeah,
you two can't. love it. And because of that, she ends up being on Love and Hip Hop, which is a really problematic reality TV show, which I had to stop watching because I literally couldn't deal after a while. But she broke out from there, and I think seeing her on that journey to what she's doing now is amazing. And the album, honestly, from start to finish, it's just a really good listen.
Yeah.
And so going back to like what we were talking about, about problems in hip hop, mine is that there can only be one theory. So obviously, Cardi B's popping. See, look, it's already slipped in. Everyone's like, oh, I bet Nicki's mad.
Yeah.
But Nicki's pressed. And you can, you know, they've had a little back and forth, like, in the media. They've even done a tune together. But you can tell Nicki Minaj, like, clearly is fuming at Cardi B's popularity. And Nicki Minaj is a sick rapper. Like,
yeah.
I've seen her live. And as we know, hip-hop shows live can really be, like, you know, take it or little, what's the, take it, what, you know what I'm trying to say.
Hit or miss.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Hit or miss, thank you. So you can't do puns, but you can tell me how to talk properly.
Yeah, I can do like old fashioned phrases.
Hit or miss. But I remember seeing Nicki Minaj at Hampstead Apollo a few years ago, and she was brilliant. Her diction live, sick.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
But you know, it's this thing of like, well, who do you think's better, Nicki or Cardi? It's like, well, maybe I can like them both.
Yeah.
How about that? Because I'm sure, like the Nas and Jay-Z beef days or whatever, or like, remember like Cannabis and LL Cool J?
That was my God.
That was lol. But it was a sort of like, who thinks better, but it wasn't about like, and who thinks prettier, and da da da. But it's just, it's so juvenile, this theory of like, there can only be one great female rapper.
Yeah.
Where there's so many sick ones. So many sick ones. Like, do you remember that Ladies' Night tune? So it's like DeBrat, Missy Elliott, Kim, like sick, amazing. And you wouldn't get that as much now. I mean, like, there's bits happening, like Lady Leisha and like Lioness, and I think Miss Banks like did a tune together.
Yeah.
That is the DSB, like the Dark Skin Bitches tune. It's called, it's sick.
I'm a dark skin ting, red lipstick. Man, I wrote what I want, don't business. Certain man wanna move district when a mom's darker than me, let me sip. Nah, I'm not gonna stand for the disrespect when I should be getting raised up, but yet you wanna diss me cause I have my skin set, man. Miss me before your anti-dark detail. Let's be honest, your comments, they can't mean well. Meanwhile, you can handle that, we go. Oh look, there's an angry black female.
But like, you just don't see that as much because there is this thing of like, there can only be one, and that is an issue that annoys me.
I did a Sunday brunch and Lady Leisha was on it.
She's wicked.
Do you know who she made friends with? Best friends with? Giles Brandreth.
Who's that again?
Giles Brandreth. How do you describe Giles Brandreth?
Presenter.
Yeah.
He used to be a Tory MP.
Did he speak
back in the day?
That guy!
Bright jumpers.
Yeah. They're like best mates.
Wow.
What, hanging out?
I know.
I've got a black friend now, guys. Because you know that's what he was thinking.
But yeah, he got a black friend and then he started bringing out all these fucking racial slurs and that. Just going, no, it's okay now. I'm mates with Lady Leisha.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I do get that point. And there's sort of parallels actually in comedy because like, when like I started doing stand up and then like Nish Kumar started doing TV, people would go to me, Nish is saw Nish on Mock the Week, how do you feel about it? I don't feel anything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I hate him as much as I do white comics.
And meanwhile Paul Chaudhry's at home crying as well, like, I fucking hate both of them. There can only be one.
But I know exactly what you mean, I know exactly what you mean. The misogyny, do you think that hip-hop gets a raw deal in terms of the misogyny in hip-hop is folded into whether you should listen to it or not when other forms of entertainment get like a bit more of a pass, or do you think an excuse?
I mean, well, it's loads of things in hip-hop. It's misogyny, it's violence, it's drug-taking. Any topic in hip-hop that I've heard, you know, sang about in rock music, or even in summer house music or whatever, it's totally ignored.
Yeah.
Mm. But like, and like, we don't want to say it's a racial thing, but it is, because it's like, it's when people hear the word hip-hop, they hear the word black, and I think there's a fear there, hence why, when you worked in sunglasses, like, don't want to go on about it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the customers think it's scary. Like, I used to DJ in a well-known high street shop, like, every Saturday afternoon, and it was kind of kindly advised not to play like kind of hip-hop, or to play like friendly hip-hop. So, you know, you could play like, I don't know,
Arrested Development.
Like Everyday People or whatever. Yeah. Or you could play Jump Around, although technically Jump Around has got some very contentious lyrics.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I'm smacking the hoe.
I know.
All right. Okay, but your Auntie Debbie loves it at wedding reception. Great. I feel there's a lot of hypocrisy around what rappers can get away with recording compared to, you know, what rock musicians can. I find that kind of annoying.
But are there records that, like, so for example, our go-to thing is always like Doggy Style, that you, it's very difficult to listen to. It Ain't No Fun, for example.
I mean,
can you completely distance yourself from, like?
That's a good question, because yeah, do you know, my friend's been talking about this a lot. I mean, it's not he's not a hip hop artist, but R&B wise, see someone like R. Kelly.
Yeah.
Can't deny R. Kelly has got tunes.
Yeah.
He's a very, very talented guy. But after watching that documentary about him, I can't purposely go and listen to him now.
Yeah.
I just can't do it. But then, I don't know, if one of the tunes comes on the radio, am I going to pretend that it's not great? I can't do that. But
Have you listened to that? Admissions.
Oh yeah, is it called I Confess or something? I admit. It's called I Admit.
I Admit, yeah.
And isn't it like, it's 19 minutes long, isn't
yeah,
it? Yeah, because yeah, I think I got through the first sort of like 11 with my mate on holiday about a few weeks ago.
That's what happened to me, right? So a mate of mine went, oh my God, R. Kelly's just done his song, I Admit It, right? Where he goes, I think it might be madder than Trapped in a Closet. So I was like, okay, and it's like a 19-minute song, and I had exactly the same thing as you, where I was like fucking buzzing to listen to it, because I think finally he's going to admit like the basement shit, like, do you know what I mean? Like all of this, like the prisoners and all this shit.
Yeah.
And then like the first stuff is just about how he can't read an auto key properly and stuff like that. And he's just like, fucking hell, get to the real shit.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I gave up. I don't think I made it even as far as 11 minutes.
Yeah, I was just a bit like, you know what? It's a bit too little too late, because that documentary just exposed him like fully.
Yeah.
So it's just like, well, but he's still got his fans, so
only
whatever.
R. Kelly would go, I've done some fucking unbearable, horrific shit, I'm going to make a tune.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
but he's got enough people around him.
Yeah.
That just, you know, that worship him, that just kind of keep him afloat. So, and is, you know, like, yeah, it's just really unfortunate is the word.
Yes.
That so, I'm going to use. Sorry. But yeah, I digress.
So there is a line that you won't cross with regards to listening to people.
I think there is. Yeah, it's tough because, oh God, I don't know how to describe this now. You really put me on the spot.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. But I think it's case by case.
Okay, so
it's person by person. So give me some names. And
no. I'll tell you why. It's only because I just did a podcast, little mini episode where it's just me ranting in the garage, right? And one of the things that I started talking about was, you know, Nas has just dropped a new album, right?
Yeah.
And whatever you think of the album is irrelevant, but...
I know what you're going to say.
But, yeah.
You the Khaleesi interview. Yeah. Yeah.
So the thing for me is, I'm not as tuned into the media maybe as I should be, but, like, Khaleesi came out with this thing, this story about how Nas was abusive during their relationship, and when Rihanna came out with the Chris Brown stuff, that she thought, oh, shit, maybe I should come out and, like, you know, explain what Nas did to me, and then decided against it. And then she sort of did this interview where she's like, I don't give a fuck, I'm just going to come out of it and say it, right? And Nas sort of didn't respond, really. He said nothing. Yeah. The only thing I think I've seen him do, or that I've read that he'd done, is like some tweets that had come out in support of him or something like that, right? Like that sort of...
Like when, side note, when Lewis Hamilton was mocking his nephew
yes.
for wearing a dress
right.
and then put out this apology, but then was liking all the tweets of people like, at him being like, Lewis, his PC gone mad. People are too insensitive. And it's just like... And then you get on the front of a magazine yeah. like wearing a kilt to say
are
sorry.
Are you apologetic or are you not? Do you know what I mean? It's fucking... By the way, I didn't realise this, right?
Yeah.
Lewis Hamilton fans are fucking militant. Because I did a tweet about Lewis Hamilton off the back of that. Just like something about, finally, something interesting about Lewis Hamilton, right? And the fucking abuse I got, Matt, it was mad. I had to come off Twitter for a bit. Like, Lewis Hamilton fans don't give a fuck.
They are proper stans.
Oh, mate, it was unbelievable.
Well, they can come for me next. Bring it out.
So, with that situation, what's your take on that?
Because I'm a massive Khaleesi fan.
Right.
And I was a massive fan of them as a couple. Because they were like the old Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, obviously, because I love Jay-Z and love Beyonce.
Yeah.
But they had that thing where it was just a little bit more like, nah. Like, this is us.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, we shag in public.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's a bit nuts. I'm a bit nuts. Like, they were sick. But I genuinely believe that Khaleesi wasn't lying. Like, she has no reason to lie.
Yeah.
Khaleesi is golden. She's having a great time. Like, you know, she's in a very sweet spot of her career. And everything she said really seemed totally legit.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I haven't listened to the new records. Like, honestly,
really? Yeah.
No,
okay.
I couldn't do it.
Right.
And it's a shame because I'm sure I heard great things about it. I heard the production was sick. I heard he sounded better than he ever has. But because of the timing of it, I felt weird doing it.
What I would say is, if you've heard that, I would argue that none of those things are true. I mean, the album's not great.
I haven't listened to it.
I didn't think it was all right. It was
so it's all Kanye, isn't it?
Yes, right. It is, yeah. Seven tracks.
That one.
The new seven-track philosophy.
Right. Pusha T record, though, Daytona.
Oh, my God. That
so
album.
So good.
Oh, my God.
So good. It's one of my favourite albums of the year.
It's so good. It's the wicked. Only thing I don't like about it is their decision to put that on the cover.
The Whitney Houston bathroom thing.
It's so mad.
Yeah.
Has he presented a case for why?
He hasn't, because it wasn't his idea. It was Kanye's idea. Kanye thought it would be like an interesting thing to do.
Nah, poor taste.
It's just fucking rank. Mm.
Poor taste.
It's really bad.
Yeah, not good.
Can I just say, on social media, you're so good.
Thanks.
One of my favourite people on social media, man.
You know, I do my bits.
When you were listening to the new Beyonce Jay-Z album, you just basically, it's like being at a live listening party with me.
It's just something I like.
It was such unbridled joy and excitement. It was amazing. It was so good.
I'm here for the Carters. Although it's funny because a couple of my friends who are really big fans before have been like, oh God, I'm so over those two now. But it was so exciting. So I've gone to the show, because I've gone to the first On the Run actually in Paris.
Yeah.
They did a few years ago. So I went to On the Run 2, which was at the old Olympic Stadium, and it was a wicked show. But annoyingly, I didn't go to the show where they announced that the album had dropped.
Right.
But I just happened to be up like that night. So I literally listened to it like non-stop to about 1 a.m. because I couldn't sleep that night anyway, and I was chilling. But I genuinely really liked it. I think I don't want them to do another one together. I think they should just leave it at that.
Okay.
It's like the end of a trilogy, isn't it? So you got Lemonade, you got 444, you got Everything Is Love.
Yeah.
Perfect. Look, it makes like, oh my God.
Deeper
people.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm doing the rock sign right now.
Very,
so you got the three
it's
points.
Really,
there we
it's
go.
It's really nice.
Oh, see, look, they're so clever.
Yeah.
Always working.
Yeah. You could theoretically do that with any three albums, though.
I really enjoyed Everything Is Love. I thought the production was really cool.
Do you like it? Because when you listened to it at the time, you were like buzzed. And you did give good, like, proper critique on the stuff as you listened to it, which is very difficult, you know, to go, because so many times you listen to an album and the tracks that you like immediately are not the ones that you grow to love later on and blah, blah, blah. Do you feel the same way about it that you did when you were first listening to it?
Just about, actually. I genuinely do think that she out-rapped him on the record. It's like Beyonce's rap record featuring Jay-Z.
Yeah.
And you can hear the sort of power shift in it. He's had to kind of take a humble backseat. Not A, because he got, like, obviously baited for, like, cheating on her.
Yeah.
Because how could you? But because I think Beyonce's sort of come into herself now. She's been like, yeah, I'm me.
It is an incredible thing, dynamic that's happened with her coming out with, like, sort of calling him out on his cheating.
Yeah.
And then him doing that album and sort of just going, oh, I'm really fucked up or whatever. It's amazing, right?
It's like,
in terms of, like, soap opera level kind of shit, it's unbelievable, do you know what I mean? Like, it just feeds into their whole thing, doesn't it?
No, for sure. You can hear the sort of humble pie in, like, all of this. All, like, even though there's that one tune, he's like, it's Beyonce. He just says it like that. You're like, all right, wow. Okay. Like, he's just happily taking a backseat. And you can just hear it. But I do think it's a really decent record.
Yeah.
You've interviewed him, haven't you?
I have.
Good guy.
Scariest moment. One of the scariest moments of my life. But wicked. No, he was lovely.
You come across as a, and because you are a supremely confident person. Were you genuinely like shitting yourself?
Do you know what I was? And the thing is, I'm usually quite chilled with people.
Yeah.
But the thing is, look, I think you learn in any job in sort of like entertainment or whatever, everyone's just trying to get on with it and do their jobs. But that was one of the first moments in a while that I've been like, oh my God, it's Jay-Z. So before we interviewed him, or I interviewed him, we had to go downstairs. We're at Maida Vale, like the famous BBC studios. We had to go downstairs and like meet him and like all of his crew. And he'd had this room like specifically sort of draped, and it was it had like an air diffuser in it, like pumping out lavender smells. There was like assorted teas, fruits, everything. And, like we had a nice little chat, and the conversation was cool, man. Like, it's one of the things that, you know, I've got to remember. I think doing the show that I do in its time, I can't be going in with him being like, okay, right, so you know, can't let the hustle.
Yeah.
Let's go like bar for bar. What did this mean?
Yeah.
Like, let's like, you can't be, like, you know, I have got specialist tastes as well as like popular tastes, but I'm not a specialist DJ.
Yes.
So, you know, I had to kind of go and talk to him on, like, I guess, a more open entertainment.
That interview's got to be appealing to the layman, basically.
Yeah, but
right?
Exactly. That's not always a bad thing. And, like, you know, because I'm sure he could talk to the cows come home, like, you know, with Semtex, big up Semtex,
yeah,
about his back catalogue or like an Elliot Wilson or whatever. But then I think my whole thing was like, okay, I want to know about how you feel like being a black man in America raising, yeah, like black children. Yeah, sure, he's rich, but still,
yeah,
he lives in Trump's America. And like, is Blue Ivy making you sing Frozen? Which I found out she, like, you know what I mean? And it was so surreal, but he was a wicked guy.
Did it put you off how incredibly softly spoken? I mean, he sounds...
He's like, yeah.
It's mad. Where, did that happen before or after the Letterman interview? Have you seen...
This happened... I suspect he recorded it before Letterman.
Right.
His hair had grown a little bit. Because he's working out
at
Afro
now. Yeah, yeah.
And his hair had grown. So I reckon he did Letterman maybe... A month after,
right, I think.
Yeah.
And did you watch the Letterman interview?
I still need to sit down and watch it properly. I've only seen clips.
Have you seen?
I'm saving it for a special day.
So it's good.
Right.
Letterman, I'll be interested to know your take on it. So Letterman is obviously a legend.
Yeah.
Interviews Jay-Z, who comes across very, very well. They talk. Letterman tries to push him on the cheating during the interview. The interview's good. It's worth watching, and Jay-Z comes across brilliantly, right? But they make this weird decision. I don't know what I'm talking about this, but it pissed me off. They made this decision to cut it with this film where they went to Rick Rubin's house. Now, I understand going to Rick Rubin's house because there's
not
some...
Not with him, though.
But I just don't understand. Like, you'd be chatting to Jay-Z and then it would cut to David Letterman just going and chatting to Rick Rubin and then going watching some girl sing in his studio. It's fucking insane. The decision to do that.
Shows.
If you guys can watch it.
Yeah. I'm going to watch it.
Let me know what you think.
I'll tweet you my thoughts.
Great. Thank you, Clara. Okay, listen, we need to wrap up, but what I want to ask is, what are you listening to now?
Oh, at the moment, yeah, honestly, the Pusha T records.
Yeah.
I just really, really enjoyed it. Because I've been a fan of Clips, like, forever, because, again, that's probably one of my introductions to hip-hop, was my older brother Andy was obsessed with Clips.
Yeah.
And I still listen to Lord William.
Yeah.
I still listen to it. And I've just followed Pusha's career, like, since then, and he's just been consistently good. I don't think he's ever put out a bad record. I mean, obviously, there was a whole Drake issue.
Yes.
Which made the listen that much juicier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I just do think it's one of the best hip-hop records I've heard all year.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think it could be... I do think it might be my album of the year.
That
is, it might be, so
okay.
far. Might be. It's great.
It's a good album.
I love it. I don't know how I feel about this 7-track thing, but with Pusha T, every track is...
All killer, no filler.
Ah, exactly. Clara, what are you up to at the moment?
At the moment, so obviously doing the radio,
yes.
I'm going to be going on Celebrity, and I say that loosely about myself, MasterChef.
This is the sickness. So can you... how the fuck did this come about?
Honestly, I almost don't know. Like, the universe is a bizarre place, but I have to say, the reaction to me telling my mates, and I guess, like, people that, like, follow me or whatever, was just... I was genuinely quite surprised by it, because again, like, yeah, as we've discussed, I've interviewed Jay-Z,
yeah,
I've done some, you know, proverbially coolest shit. Girl, MasterChef, oh my god, that's sick, Dan. no, we're rooting for you, we're so excited, can't wait. So yeah, August 23rd, it kicks off on BBC One.
That's so good, man.
And my heat's quite funny, because it is a lot of random people, but, like, you know, it's all about that apron.
What's your cooking like?
I cannot confirm or deny how my cooking is. You got to wait and
see.
I wonder why that is, that people react like that. I think it's because it's sort of, MasterChef is like, feels like an establishment program. Do you know what I mean?
Like, it really is.
So you're sort of like properly like going to the next thing. We've just found out that Sean Walsh, do you know Sean Walsh?
Oh God, comedian. remind me.
Sean Walsh, comedian, long hair. It's just been confirmed to do Strictly Come Dancing.
Oh, yes, the blondie brown hair guy. Yes.
And that's blown our minds as well.
But that's what I mean. And I think it's one of those things where, like, because I've been asked to do a lot of, like, reality TV.
Yeah.
Like, you name it, I've been asked. And I politely declined.
Yeah.
But this is the one I was like, you know what? It's MasterChef, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, everyone has grown up watching it.
Yeah.
Human beings, we all love to eat.
Yeah.
We all love to watch people eat. So I thought, let me just... Let me just say,
who are the other celebrities?
So in my I've got Stella Parton, who's Dolly's sister, who is the loveliest, sweetest woman you will ever meet. I don't know, but she is the personification of Southern charm. She's
right.
lovely. Lisa Maxwell, who used to be in The Bill, he's lovely. AJ, who's one of the dancers from Strictly.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, who else is in my heat? I've literally gone blank. God, that's showbiz.
We can drop in a robot voice in the names. Yeah. Well, listen, good luck with it, Clara.
Pleasure.
You have been, what do you reckon, Rupert, best guest ever?
Right out there.
Was I better than Reggie Yates?
Yeah.
I'm so much better than Reggie.
Take that.
And he was late as well.
Clara, thank you so much,
man.
It's been an absolute pleasure. We'd love to have you come back on.
I would love
to. Post MasterChef, and then, like, you know, we can have a proper cook chat.
You can debrief my food. All
wicked.
Right.
Thank you so much. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.